and it stung me to my soul. Stung me just like jelly roll, and it stung me, and it stung me to my soul.
Welcome to the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine. Meet 'em, greet 'em, treat 'em, and street 'em. Today's date is April 13th, 2013. And the title of episode number 32 is Stone Me. And I'm your skeptical host, Ken Milne. This podcast is being recorded in Boston, Massachusetts. I am currently in Beantown to run a little race they've been running for 117 years called the Boston Marathon. I was looking back at the Beam catalog for material for a topic that would be related to marathon running. Unfortunately, there's no Cochrane review on how crazy you have to be to run 42 kilometers, or 26.2 miles for our American friends, when you could just drive. However, marathon runners get all jacked up on caffeine before the race. Caffeine is a weak diuretic. This often results in long lines for the porta potties on race morning. That made me think of the Cochrane review we did last year on pushing fluids or IV diuretics in the use of passing kidney stones. So let's start with a case. The case today is a 46-year-old man who presents to the emergency department doing the renal colic shuffle. Not the Harlem shuffle, the renal colic shuffle. He has a history of kidney stones, and nothing in his physical examination or investigations suggests anything other than a renal colic attack. And he wants to know if there's any way to flush that stone out. Now, from the SGEM episode number 4, you know that an alpha blocker does not help pass kidney stones beyond the placebo effect. And we're still waiting for the big systematic review from Cochrane on this topic. So the question today for this podcast is, does pushing oral or IV fluids or diuretics help pass kidney stones? And the reference for this is by Dr. Worcester, and it's a Cochrane review called Fluids and Diuretics for Acute Uteric Colic, published in 2012. Now, you may recognize Dr. Andrew Worcester's name. He's the founder of BEAM, or the best evidence in emergency medicine. He put the BEAM dream team together, and he's my EBM, or evidence-based medicine guru. No matter what the clinical question is, he always tells me, Ken, the EBM answer is, it depends. And it depends because we have stated before, evidence-based medicine is not just about randomized clinical control trials or systematic reviews. It's a judicious use of the evidence applied in the clinical scenario. In other words, it depends on the individual patient you have before you, the resources available, and the doctor's experience. It's where these three things intersect, these three priorities, the patients, the doctors, and the available research. Where these intersect is when the best care is provided. And the ultimate goal of the SGEM remains to shorten the knowledge translation window down to 1 year to provide you the best evidence so you can provide your patients with the best care. So in this Cochrane systematic review that Dr. Worcester did and published in 2012, the population they were looking at was adults in the emergency department with acute renal colic, just like our 46-year-old man doing the renal colic shuffle. The intervention was high-volume IV fluids or oral fluids or diuretic use. The control was placebo, no treatment, or maintenance IV fluids or oral rehydration. The outcome was symptoms and duration, physician visits, hospital admits, surgical procedures, and of course, adverse events. So the results from this Cochrane review? Well, there was only two studies. with a total of 118 patients. So the N was 118, looking at IV fluids. And there was no difference. And what I mean by no difference is there was no difference in pain at 6 hours. So I don't need to go through the fine details. There was no difference, no significant difference in pain at 6 hours. No difference in stone clearance. So there was no difference in the number of people that passed the stone. And the hourly pain score of patients or narcotic requirements, no difference. No difference in surgical stone removal, and no difference in manipulation by cystoscopy. So the author's conclusions were, quote, "We found no reliable evidence in the literature to support the use of diuretics and high volume fluid therapy for people with acute uteric colic. However, given the potential positive therapeutic impact of fluids and diuretics to facilitate stone passage, the capacity of these interventions warrants further investigation to determine safety and efficacy profile." End of quote. So our BEAM comments, or our best evidence in emergency medicine comments, are, yeah, two small studies, and it lacked the clinical evidence of benefit. But just because we don't have evidence of benefit, the lack of evidence doesn't mean the lack of therapeutic benefit. We just don't have the evidence for it. And in addition, there is theoretical potential harm with renal impairment or uteric rupture from high volume IV. So when you look at the fact that we have two small studies, a total population of 118 patients in these two small studies, the lack of clinical efficacy and the theoretical potential harm, these treatments should not be routinely used. So the BEAM bottom line is that you don't need to push fluids either orally or IV or use diuretics to pass kidney stones. The Keener contest, well, last week's winner was Chris Bond. And according to his Twitter feed, he is a Canadian eMERGE resident, foam blogger, dogma basher, and wine and food super geek. So congratulations to Chris. He was the first one to say fondaparinux, 2.5 milligrams sub-Q daily for 45 days was the treatment of superficial thrombophlebitis to relieve symptoms and prevent extension to DVT-PE. This week's Keener contest is going to be in honor of the Boston Marathon. Now, the Boston Marathon is run in what's called Beantown. So I would like whoever gets back to me first with why is Boston called Beantown. That's the Keener contest in honor of the Boston Marathon. Why is Boston called Beantown? If you're the first person to email me back, thesgem@gmail.com, I will send you a cool skeptical prize. Now don't forget to follow the SGEM on Twitter @thesgem, and take time to click once and like the SGEM on Facebook. And always, always remember to be skeptical of anything you learn, even if you learned it on the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine. Talk with you next week.